Amen. What a blessing that was. I just ministered to my heart tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Wednesday nights we've been studying on the life of Joshua, and there's so much in the Bible concerning the man Joshua, and we studied a lot about what the Bible has revealed to us about the man Joshua, his family, his background, all the things that God worked in his life to get him to the place where he's at now, and he is leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. And so as we studied last week, they come to Jordan, the Jordan River, and we know that the Jordan River at that particular time, the banks flooded over. I mean, the water was very swift, and so it would have been a very fearful thing for the nation of Israel, for them to come to the Jordan River and to think about having to cross that Jordan River with their families and their livestock and all their possessions. And it would have been an impossibility if it were not for the hand of God. And he has them there, and they're there for 3 days. And that's what we looked at last week, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And it had been 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years, and that older generation dying off, the newer generation coming on the scene, and now there was a new life was just ahead, a new life. They're no longer going to have to live in the wilderness. They're going to be able to have their own houses. They're going to have their own land. They're going to be able to establish their own government according to the will of God. And so it's a very exciting time, but they come to the Jordan, and it's a very scary time as well. I don't know if you've ever been that or not. Had both those emotions. You're very excited about what the future holds, but there's also a lot of fear, you know, and the change and the things that are taking place. And those are things that we all deal with from time to time. But we find that Joshua, under the leading of God, led the people to come up to the Jordan River for 3 days before they would address crossing the river. Now, that's wisdom. They were able to kind of calm their fears. The longer they were there, the more adjusted they come. They was able to get to the rushing waters, and it wasn't as fearful as it had been when they first possibly came up on the Jordan. But so they were getting adjusted to the raging waters of Jordan. And then he tells them that they were to leave a space between the people and the Ark of God. And I love that, because that space between the people and the Ark was for all the people to have a view of the Ark. It would not be hindered by the crowds. It wouldn't be hindered by other things. You get too close of everybody's around, you can't see the Ark. But if you distance the Ark far enough for the amount of people that were there, they could all stay focused on the Ark. And they didn't have to just follow man. And what a blessing that is, you know, when you can stay focused on the Ark. Stay focused. The Ark represented the presence of God. And so there was enough distance between the people and the Ark to where everyone, all the people, would be able to have a view of the Ark. Well, now we get to chapter 3 and verse 5, and we're going to be reading verse 5 down through 11, so go ahead and stand with me, because Joshua addresses their sanctification. That's very important. As we face a changing world, the world's changing, and then there's changes that has taken place in our own lives, whether it's age, whether it's marriage, having children, going to Bible college. There's always changes that we have to deal with. And as we face an ever-changing world, and we're facing critical decisions that we have to make, we're facing the trials that come upon us, we're facing the temptations that all of us have to deal with from time to time. The idea of sanctification is a very important truth, a very important subject for God's people. And so let's look here in Joshua chapter 3, and of course it's Wednesday night. I know everyone's a little bit tired, maybe even thinking about taking a nap during the message, I don't know, but let's not do that. Let's realize that we're in church, and this is by God's design, is for us to be assembled together, and we have His Word in front of us. We have what He has preserved for us to learn from, and so let's not miss out on what God has for us tonight. And so let's just focus on the message and the Word that God has for us this evening. Okay, Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Gershites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. And it is a blessing to be able to just come to church. As we come through the doors of the church house, we can just sense your presence. We can know that you're here in the midst, that you have a message for us, and you know exactly what we're going through, each and every one. I just pray now, God, that you would just help each and every one just to be quiet and to listen to the voice of God. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So with all the things taking place in the life of the children of Israel, and they have a bright future ahead of them as long as they keep the faith in God, and rely upon the Lord and do what God has for them to do, we find here that the main message that Joshua wants to present to them when they're at this place with everything ahead of them was to sanctify yourselves. That definition of the word sanctify is to set apart for God's purpose or for God's will. To set apart for God's purpose or for God's will. No matter what you're dealing with, the most important thing for us to be aware of is God. If God is who He says He is, then He understands everything, past, present, future. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about His will for your life, His expectations of your life. He knows what you have need of, what your weaknesses are, what your strengths are. Amen? It's just God. I mean, we have to stay focused on more than ourselves and more than our circumstances and more than our situations around us. We have to know that there's a God. we didn't believe there was a God, we wouldn't be here tonight. If I didn't believe there was a God, then I would fear death. If I didn't know that there was a God, I would have never committed my entire life to serving Him. But there is a God. And we need to always be aware of that. No matter how fearful the Jordan River is, even though it's flooding and over its banks, and we're going to have to go through there to get to where God wants us to go. Yeah. Set apart for God's purpose or His will. Now, biblical sanctification, when you understand what the Bible has to reveal to us about this idea of biblical sanctification, there's three aspects of it. If you will, three stages of biblical sanctification. The first stage is really, you have no control over that. It's what God does. It's called positional sanctification. It's your position in God, in Christ. Your position. What was Israel's position? The Old Testament reveals that the nation of Israel was sanctified by God through the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12. God says, I'm going to take you and separate you from the world. And you're my chosen people. And I'm going to work through you to represent me to the world. That was their position. The nation of Israel, Old Testament, as we looked at, they were a chosen people that God had separated, had sanctified through the Abrahamic covenant. They would have to agree to the Abrahamic covenant. They would have to submit to the Abrahamic covenant. But that was a covenant that God made with Abraham and Israel, the seed of Abraham, to be sanctified, to be set apart for God's purpose. He gave them special rules. He gave them a law to live by, because everything that He gave them to live by was to represent Him to a lost and dying world. And there was significance to every part of the law. There was significance to all the commandments. And it was all because of sanctification. He set them apart for His purposes. And they would know that the Creator God is our God. Not everyone has this God. He is our God. If they want our God to be their God, then they're going to have to submit to the laws that God has given to us. Then they would have to be circumcised and become part of the nation of Israel through circumcision. So today, somewhat in like kind, it's every believer. Positional sanctification is what God does for everyone who receives Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. As you look to the Old Testament, you understand that Old Testament Israel represented God. Listen to me, that's you. Now, a lot of different things take place. We understand that. But in the very same way that they were sanctified to live in this world, to represent God, a creator God, every born-again believer, when you get saved, without anything that you do, you don't do anything for this. This is something that is part of salvation. This is something that God automatically does to everyone that receives Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. God says, I'm going to take you out of the grips of the devil. I'm going to take you out of the world, and I'm going to sanctify you to represent me. How many of you are saved tonight? Raise your hand. Everyone that's saved here tonight, you've been sanctified. You have a positional position that God has given to you. You didn't do anything to gain it. You just received Jesus Christ. And as you did that, God says, I am going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to sanctify every one of you. You're saved, you're sanctified. A positional sanctification. Now, the Bible has much to say about it. Let's go through a few verses here. I want you to understand this. It's a blessing when you know it, because now that you know if you're saved, you have this. And there's much in the New Testament I could take you to, but I'm going to take you to a few verses. I want you to write them down if I go too fast for you. But we're going to start in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 19. The Bible says what? Know ye not that your body, because of sanctification, and with sanctification, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? The life you're living is not just your life. Look at verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God because you have been sanctified, because you are now under the blood of Jesus Christ. You're no longer your own, but you're his. You've been bought. You're his. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When you get saved, you're not your own anymore. You're his. And being his, you've been sanctified to represent him. Yeah. Colossians chapter 1, book of Colossians. Let me just read to you just a few books over there. Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. See, because that's where you were before you got saved. That's where you realize it or not. Satan had control of you through your sinful nature. You were living in bondage. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, now hopefully this makes more sense to you now, because this is a very familiar verse that we might have heard or even maybe could even quote. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what have we learned already? If you're in Christ, that means you got saved. What are you? Sanctified. Set apart for God's purpose. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Because you've been sanctified. With the sanctification, you have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, who has sealed you to the day of redemption. Verse 20. Now then, because we've been sanctified, we are ambassadors. How many are saved? Raise your hand. You are an ambassador. Anybody ask you what your occupation? You can truthfully say, I'm an ambassador. You're an ambassador for Christ because you have been saved. If you've been saved, you've been sanctified. And if you've been sanctified, then you have been set apart for God's purpose. And God's purpose for your life is to represent Him. And as you represent Him, then that makes you an ambassador. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. He says, we're ambassadors. We're trying to reconcile you to God through Jesus Christ. That's something we all are commissioned to do. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 9. Then said he, Jesus, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first Old Testament covenant, that he may establish the second New Testament Christianity, by the which will we believers are sanctified. For this new and living way, the second covenant, we are sanctified. We're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins, Old Testament. But this man, this Jesus Christ, after that he had offered one sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, he said, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Positional sanctification. If you're saved, you have it. God sees you as being sanctified. God looks at you and has expectations of you being separated and to represent Him as His ambassador. Christ Jesus has those expectations of everyone that trusts Him to be their Lord and Savior. Now, as we look to this biblical sanctification, the second part of this or stage of this, that's God's part. We have been set apart by God to be ambassadors to represent Christ. Our part is progressive sanctification. Progressively getting my testimony in line with the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's a progression. When you first get saved, listen to me, you are sanctified, but you're not going to be as much Christ-like in the beginning as hopefully you will as you learn what Christ was like and you start submitting your life to His life and becoming more like Him. This is going on for the rest of our lives. Whether you're aware of it or not, it helps if you're aware of it. I'm aware of, even at 65, being saved since I was 8 years of age, I am still progressively seeking to be more like Christ. And hopefully I'll continue to do that to the day I die. Because that's God's expectations of me. Because I have been sanctified by God. As I've been sanctified by God, then I have to do my part, and that is to conform more to the image of Jesus Christ. Progressive sanctification, ongoing. It's what Joshua was commanding the people to do. Be aware, you are the children of God. You're Israel. Now, sanctify yourself. God's already set you apart. Now you need to do that before we get ready to cross the Jordan. Romans chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves, this is what you, every one of us have, should be doing, to be dead indeed unto sin. I wasn't saved and sanctified by God to live a life of sin. I was saved and sanctified by God to live a life of Christ. Reckon ye also yourselves, you got to do it for yourself. This is something that only you can do for you, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield of ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Isn't that good stuff? Verse 19, he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servant to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin, that's part of God's sanctification, sanctifying us. Made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Yeah, wow. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is all part of progressive sanctification. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's how we serve Him. And be not conformed to this world, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, because that is what you have been sanctified to do. To represent Christ. I love that. It's the will of God. Progressive sanctification. One last verse here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Everybody with me tonight? Amen. Amen. It's good stuff. It helps us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You sanctifying yourself. Your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Wow. Can I tell you, that's what the world needs today? That's what Christians need to do, to set an example to the world that we're living in. There's never been a greater need for the United States of America than for true Christianity to yield to, first of all, understanding God's part in sanctification, than our part in progressive sanctification. The third and final part of biblical sanctification is eternal sanctification, or if you will, future setting apart for the cause of, for the will of God for the future. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Once we have lived our life looking to separate ourselves from the world and represent Christ as he would have us to represent him throughout our lifetime, then we have something to look forward to, which is eternal sanctification. For an eternity, we are going to be set apart for God and enjoying his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's what's going to happen. Once this world and all God's purpose for this New Testament church age is done, he's going to rapture the church and give every born-again believer that's been sanctified a glorified body. Amen. I don't think we can fully understand how great this glorified body is going to be. I don't think we can fully understand the greatness of the relationships we're going to have in heaven. Can I tell you, the Bible says there will be no marriages in heaven. Do you understand how great marriage is today when you have a good marriage? Our relationship in heaven is going to far exceed any relationship you could ever have on this earth. We will be known as we were known. You'll know who you were married to on this earth. I believe that. You'll know your children who God gave you on this earth in heaven. But our relationship is going to be so much better than it is on even this earth. No matter how good a relationship you have with any other individual on this earth, heaven's relationships are going to be so much more beyond our human comprehension. I've heard people mourn and say, oh, I can't believe I won't be married in heaven. I'm not going to be my husband's wife, and I'm not going to be my wife. It's going to be better than that. Yeah. Stop crying and stop pouting. It's going to get better. If you just hang on there, your marriage will get better. It might take heaven, but it will get better. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 4 on this eternal sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort through understanding eternal sanctification. Yeah. Go back there with me in our text here. I got to quit here, but I wanted to get a little bit more on the second part because it's important here. He told them, he said, sanctify yourselves, understanding biblical sanctification. But then in verse 7, he says this, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they, he's magnifying Joshua for Israel's sake, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Joshua was told by God that God was going to magnify him for God and Israel. Magnified by God for God. Can I tell you the reason being is God would have visible representation of himself for his people to look to. Visible representation of Christ. Every believer, you're a visible representation of Christ. Through sanctification. Your family needs to see you as a Christian. Your children need to view you as a Christian. Your coworkers, your friends at school, they need to visible representation of Christ to look to. We should never look to magnify ourselves, but when God gives us a position for people to look to, then we have to be that representative for Christ. Verses 9 through 11, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, because God now has promoted Joshua, and as he was with Moses, now the people need to see that Joshua has the presence of God. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord. Joshua said, I want you to hear from God. I'm his mouthpiece, but I want you to hear from God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites. You're going to see representation of God that will help you to have faith in God. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into. It's going to go into the Jordan River, and the Jordan River is going to part. And you will be able to go across on dry ground. Look to the ark and to Joshua. Don't lose sight of the ark. But you also have a visible representation in my servant Joshua. As long as Joshua is following the ark, follow Joshua. You have God to look to. You have the representation of God through the Bible right here. This Bible is a visible representation of Jesus Christ. This church, not this building, but this church, you as part of this church, that's a visible representation of Jesus Christ. You have that. But you also have others that God has brought into your life to be a help to you. Amen. To look to. To follow God's sanctification of your life. Wow. If I could have every head bowed tonight. So glad that I've had those that I've been able to look to throughout the years that I know that represent God to me. Have a testimony that encourages me. Have been faithful to their service to God that encourages me. So glad for that. I've got the Word. I've got the Bible. I've got the testimony of Christ and His example. But what a blessing to have a visible representation of Christ to look to. Do you see yourself? You raised your hand and said, I'm saved. Do you see yourself as that ambassador? Do you see yourself as that visible representation of Christ? Others need you so that they can see you and have a representation of genuine Christianity. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word, and I thank you for this study in the book of Joshua and how Joshua was being used to help the nation of Israel in preparing for the promised land, your perfect will for their lives. And I pray, God, tonight that we would be strengthened by this as well. Now, bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.